On May 31st, 2020, the world lost a good man. Independent wrestling lost a brother. The deathmatch community lost a legend. And I, among countless others, lost a beloved friend. Grant Berkland, the deathmatch Viking Danny Havoc. Over the next little while, I'm going to be sitting down to talk with his friends, co-workers, and peers about the impact he had on them, on their careers, on their lives. We're going to remember our friend and celebrate his life. Welcome to Grant Berkland, The Road to Valhalla. Welcome back. Thank you guys so much for listening. It means so much to so many people. I'm Wiggy, and today I am joined with yet another of Grant's friends. Please welcome Stockade.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in. This whole experience of talking to everybody, it's been like recorded therapy.
I totally get that, trust me.
So, I mean, I hope by the time we're done talking, I hope you feel the same.
I'm sure.
It's been, and I mean, there's just no end to other bullshit going on in the world right now, you know, it's kind of crazy,
the few guys and girls that I've spoken to about it. It's just the last thing anyone wants at this time. It's just like the fucking proverbial icing on the cake. It just couldn't have come at a whole, it would have been tragic regardless. It would have been horrible, but it's just on top of what's going on. It's just like, fuck, man. It's just even worse.
It is. I actually, the other day, I called it the cherry on top of the shit sundae.
It's pretty much it.
It is, and I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people have actually been reaching out, and I'll mention this now, because I honestly don't know, and I don't know if it's even possible. I mean, obviously, I pretty much everyone knows at this point I'm in Canada, and things are very different here than they are in the States. So I'm not entirely sure what's even possible. But one thing that's one thing that is definitely making this harder is the pandemic, you know, with social distancing, things being locked down. Like I said, I'm not really sure what's possible in the States. You know, I know in Toronto, right?
Every state is different. Governor is different. I'm in New York. Where I'm at, we've been in phase, we have four phases. Mm-hmm. We're in phase one of and it takes every 2 weeks to get to the next phase, depending on the numbers. Yeah. Jersey's different. It's crazy, man. It's just crazy. It just sucks all around.
It really does. Like, I mean, I'm still locked down. Like, we're not supposed to interact with any households outside of our own, you know? So, and that just makes this so hard because there's so many people who are just heartbroken over losing Grant.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why I want to get so many people together to talk about is because I know that anyone who would want to, we can't just get together with each other. We can't put on a show. We can't hold services. We can't have a memorial or anything. We can't be together the way that we so desperately need to be right now.
Yeah,
so I kind of hope
it totally sucks.
It does. Like it's just a whole other layer of heartbreak on top of it,
because
I mean, you know, it's everybody that I have talked to, like every single one, and there's been dozens, and whenever I talk to somebody, yourself included, I'm just left with this overwhelming feeling. I just want to hug everybody, you know.
I believe you. I think if it was possible, I think you'd see CZW, GCW, and H2O definitely doing the Danny Havoc tribute. I think it'd be like a weekend, or like everyone would be doing something, and it's just compounded with the fact that, you know, I don't even know if people are even able to go to the funeral. Like, I have no idea. I don't even know where it would be. Like, it just sucks. It's just, like I said, it couldn't have, it's a horrible, terrible situation, just at the worst horrible possible time.
It really is. You know, like, I've been asked a number of times online, you know, if there's any, and I have no idea. You know, I don't know what's possible. I don't know what his family's wishes are. Absolutely, if I'm told anything that I am allowed to share publicly, I will absolutely put it out through Danny's Twitter. I mean, you know, because, you know, we want everybody to be able to join in this, not just to mourn, we're all mourning, but we want to celebrate him. You know, and I do feel like, kind of on some level, that the fact that we can't have all of these tributes to him, I think he's probably laughing at us because of that. He's like, good, I wouldn't have wanted that shit to start with.
I mean, I feel that way about everyone that passes. Like, I don't, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when somebody passes, whether it's in wrestling or anything, there's an over-glorification from people that have maybe like two interactions or if that with the person. But regardless, you know, I as far as I know, I do know H2O, I know Matt and Chrissy they're building some type of memorial wall or tribute to Danny. So I know that's happening at H2O. You know, I mean, when it will be able to be seen by everybody in terms of in person, I don't know, but I'm sure once it's finished, they'll be posting pictures of it. That I do know is happening.
Oh, that's amazing. And I'd like to just throw it to everybody. Danny's website, it was kind of collecting dust for the last couple of years since he retired. I've opened up a memorial page that is on there. If anybody, friend, wrestler, fan, anyone would like to contribute to that, please do. Like, reading the messages that people have sent in has been, it's genuinely a comfort. It really is.
That's
just
awesome.
You know, so I mean, please, you know, like, if you'd like to send something in, either hit me up through Danny's Twitter at Danny Havoc site, through mine on Facebook. You can email me at pansisradio@gmail.com. Please, I encourage anybody to contribute if you'd like to, because I mean, we have to get this out. You know, I mean, there's like, the prevailing notes that have come from everybody I've talked to is that this one is just different. I mean, they all hurt. I mean, there's so many, far, far too many wrestlers have gone far, far too young. But something about this is just different.
I think it's just, it's, you know, for a lot of us, you know, Danny grew up with a lot of guys in the area, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know why this one is different than the others. I mean, I know for people that he was close to, obviously, but it's just tragic all around. I think maybe, you know, compounded with everything that went on with his wife, and it's a sad story. The only real, like, and the people I've talked to, the only real thing that, you know, I mean, I'm just happy that he's back with his old lady, and I know he's happy, and we all do. Like,
exactly.
That's the only solace that can come out of this, and that's the only thing we can do, you know? I mean, I didn't know Danny as well as a lot of the other guys, and but from what I've known of him and my interactions and hanging out with him, I'm pretty sure Danny wouldn't want anyone sitting around moaning, mourning, and being upset over him. You know, and knowing his heritage much like mine, death isn't an ending. It's another chapter. It's meant to be celebrated. So, and knowing Danny's beliefs in Vikings and his whole background and heritage, I'm pretty sure he'd be feeling that way.
I completely agree. And actually, I was thinking about that, thinking about you a lot about that. You know, Danny's Vikingness. You know, that went well beyond a gimmick. You know, that was his background, his history, and it did mean a lot more to him than simply, you know, a logo on a T-shirt or anything like that. And I know it's very similar to you, so, like, do you think you might, you know, kind of carry on that Asgardian mantle, as it were?
I mean, I absolutely would love to. I would never ask. If, you know, I know when I started, when I changed the gimmick over and followed that, went down that path, and, you know, embrace, you know, I was doing the Devil's Outlaw thing, but that was more of a character. This is, you know, Deathmatch Asgardian thing, yeah, it's a cool name and it looks good on a t-shirt, but my family history is Scandinavian, German, Swedish, Norwegian. Like, that's where my family background, you know, comes from. And that's kind of where me and Danny, like, I was friends with Danny, but that's where we got a little bit more close. I actually have a Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, Mjolnir necklace with Skull and Hati, two wolves from Norse mythology on a chain. Danny loved it. Like, he always, like, was like, dude, I need to get one. And we just never got the chance to pass information. So I actually took that chain. I mailed it to Chrissy and Matt to be part of the memorial as well for Danny, because I know how much it meant to him. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's like I said, the Viking beliefs and the brotherhood and the nine noble virtues, and, you know, the idea that, you know, the great warriors go to the great hall in Valhalla and drink and be merry and talk of their stories. You know, I totally believe that's where Danny's sitting right now, and I know he's with his wife, and, you know, it's sad, and I think all of us would want him to be back, but at the same time, you know, he's where he needs to be. And I didn't really get to see him after his old lady passed. I talked to people, and, you know, I know it was very rough for him, and I'm just, like I said, the only thing that I take out of this is that I know he's happy with his wife.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And that was such a beautiful image, you know. Like, I mean, a lot of us, you know, we don't know a whole lot about it. We know, we know the gimmick. We know the catchphrases. We know the TV show Vikings, and that's about it. But I mean, just imagining that is so perfect. Like, it is just so perfectly fitting of Grant Berglund, you know. And,
yes, no, 100%.
You know, it well, really
he encompassed in the, like, Viking, you know, the Nordic dramatic ruling. There's the nine noble virtues, which is almost like their own version of the Ten Commandments, and it's right. Basically, you know, you do take care of your family, take care of your neighbor, it's stuff like that. And Danny was all that. I'm sure, you know, like everyone, Danny's had his spouse with people, but the Danny Havoc, the Grant that I got to experience and I got to share the ring with, nothing but a just straight shooter, honest. He was. I think I listened to Alex Colon. He did a podcast, and he flat out said, like, Danny's a legend, and it's very, you know, and there's that old saying that, you know, legends never die. I believe it's from The Sandlot. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Yep.
And I don't think Danny Havoc, you know, he never got that mainstream WWE live TV push, but the fact that AEW, who he never worked for, who put something out and acknowledged, you know, his contributions to the professional wrestling business, that, to me, Danny is a legend. And I think we'll be speaking of the name Danny Havoc for years to come. As long as there's a wrestling business and there will be a deathmatch wrestling genre, the name Danny Havoc will last forever.
I completely agree. And, man, you're not allowed to make me cry.
No, I'm not trying to. I don't believe in, you know, like I said, I mean, it's sad. Don't get me wrong. I know people have cried, but, like, my way of looking at things, and, like I said, what my heritage is, my beliefs, like I said, death isn't the end. It's just another chapter that we all take. It's another journey, and it's not to be sad. Like, yeah, he's not here with us now, but he's somewhere else doing when he's there for a reason, and I truly believe that. And believe me, I just as much as anyone else would want him, you know, I would love to go to H2O when it's back up and see Danny there, and then just talk about, you know, Scandinavian Viking stuff. I remember one time, he just looked at me. He's like, man, you're the wrestler I wanted to be. I was like, what? He goes, just the way you look. He goes, you just encompass everything that I believe in. And, like, getting to share the ring with him a couple times, like, you know, he's, like I said, he's a legend. He'll never be forgotten. And he'll be immortalized forever. I know at H2O, and I'm sure GCW and CGW are going to do something when they can. Yeah. Or they probably already are. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure they are.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're completely right. Like, I'm trying to hang on very much to the idea that I'm sad for me, but I'm not sad for him. He, like you said, he is He is right where he needs to be, and he is with exactly who he needs to be with. And you know what, guys? He's just getting the party started. He's waiting for us. And
he's up there with everyone else.
Yep. He's getting to catch up with so many of people, so many of his loved ones who he has missed. And, you know, I can't be sad for that. He's not in pain. He's not suffering. He isn't missing Bran. They have their happily ever after.
You know? Exactly.
And we're going to be there 100%. One day. They're just waiting for us. They're just keeping the party warmed up for the rest of us to get there.
Exactly. He's going to get everyone booked at the Great Show in the Sky. So absolutely. I'm pretty sure of that.
I mean, there may not be any booze left at the party when we get there, but I mean, you know, that's okay. You take what you can get, right?
That's fine. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. And I honestly, people have asked me and I've told them, I don't know. And part of me doesn't want to know. Of course, there's that part of you that just wants to know what exactly happened. I'm not asking. It's not my business. And like I said, I really don't need to know because I know where he is and I know he's happy. So, you know, I just want to put it out there. Cause I know people have been asking. I've seen posts from guys saying, please don't ask. So, if you're listening to this, and I'm sure other guys have said it, if it's going to be put out there, it'll be put out there, and people will know. And if it's not, just respect that.
Yeah. I mean, this is, as much as he's a public figure, and once, again, like a really overwhelming response I've got is so many people, even people who never met him, fans who just watched him, never had the good fortune to meet him, feel like he was a friend. And that was just one of the amazing traits about the man. But we do ask that you respect the person behind all that and his family, because they're suffering an unimaginable loss right now. And, you know, whatever they decide to do and whatever they decide to put out, it will be done. If it's meant to get to the public, I promise you guys, it will get to the public. And if it doesn't, then, like I said, please, like Stock hates it, please just respect that. I wanted to ask you though, because I saw I can't even remember where I saw it on the other, but you had mentioned, I think fairly recently, that Danny was your first match in a deathmatch tournament.
The first ever Hardcore Kingdom. It was myself versus Danny Havoc. The Hardcore Kingdom was my first ever deathmatch tournament. I started doing deathmatch wrestling in 2015, so I think the tournament was 2017, so, you know, fairly new to it. And from what I was told, I'm going off of Matt, and that's one of my best friends. Matt told me Danny requested to work me. And, you know, after the match, Grant, I mean, it's on camera, you really can't hear it, but you kind of can hear it, but it's not Mike. But Grant, sticks his hand out and says, anytime you want to do it again, I'm absolutely down. And in the back, you know, he kind of, to me, it was like the stamp of approval from the old dog. You know, like, hey, man, you're coming in. Like, yeah, I've been wrestling for X amount of years. And Danny knew who I was from wrestling, just in general. But this was like, I'm coming into the deathmatch world. Can I hang with Danny? Like, and I got his stamp of approval. And from that moment on, you know, it was, and then, you know, moving on to the Awakening. And Danny drawing the logo he did for us and some other photos I'm still trying to find. But, yeah, I mean, Danny was my first ever opponent in a deathmatch tournament, and that means a lot to me. He was someone I really wanted to work. He was someone I really wanted to earn his respect. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to say that I was a friend of Danny Havoc. And that to me is an honor. I wasn't as close to him as Devin and Lucky and Drew and some of the other guys, but I can say I was a friend of his. And, you know, I've had conversations with him via Facebook or even text message. And, you know, just the honor I had to share with, you know, a guy that, to me, pioneered the next generation of deathmatch wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is a hell of a way to pop a deathmatch tournament cherry. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Like,
no pressure or anything.
We're just going to put your first round living legend.
Yeah, and
you know,
when Matt told me, I was shocked when Matt told me. But yeah, you know, it was an honor. Like I said, I will always hold that in high regards that I got to share the ring with him. And, you know, I wish we got to do it more. I know at the Danny Havoc, Matt Tremont, Excellent Adventure, Extravagant, whatever they call it, that show.
Yeah.
I begged Danny to be a part of it in some capacity physically. But he was very adamant about letting it, you know, he took his retirement very seriously, obviously, until the Raver and the Japan tour, which I don't think anyone would knock him.
Yeah.
But just getting to share the ring with him in any capacity was just so, he was so talented, and he was such a perfectionist, and he had such a creative mind. And I don't think anyone really talks about that, like, outside of, like, you know, oh my God, did you see Danny Havoc took this crazy thing, or he's bleeding here. But the creativity that Danny had, not just in his artwork, but in wrestling in general, the things he came up with and the ideas, dude was a mastermind.
It is. He was like an engineering architectural genius. Like some of the
Jigsaw from Saw. That's why that's what he reminded me of. Like the things he came up with, I'm like, dude, this is like out of Jigsaw, like out of Saw, man.
Like yeah,
this isn't like normal thinking.
Exactly.
Like Matt put up a photo that I never saw from one of the first sets at Hardcore Kingdoms, and like Danny came up with the idea of taking a baseball bat and somehow putting half broken records on it. I'm like, I would never think of that in a million years.
Like who would?
Exactly. But that's, like I said, that speaks to the creativity of the guy, man. Like, I wish more people knew, like, how creative he was. And I wish more people knew how great of an artist he was. I don't know if it was, he never really pushed for it, but dude, what a phenomenal artist he was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really nice seeing how many people have posted sketches and stuff, you know, like, just general
awesome
artwork. But some of wrestling designs that they've had and stuff, and it's mind blowing. It really is. Like the attention to detail and knowing exactly how something is going to work. You know, like it was kind of funny, and it just put this like kind of hilarious image in my head. Talking to Chrissy Rivera the other day, and she was talking about the scaffold match with Nation of Intoxication and Four Loko, and obviously, you know, the big bump she took off the scaffold with Devin Moore. And she said she was scared shitless to do it. And she's like, Grant kind of pulled her aside, pulled out all these papers. And he's like, don't worry, here's how it's going to work. And I just like picture him as like an architect with like a bunch of blueprints and, you know, pencil tucked behind his ear, you know,
yeah,
pointing
no, that,
out her.
That's literally what it was. Like, I remember a few Hardcore Kingdoms, he had blueprints and like, you know, this, and the dude was, you know, like he was one of those people, I don't know how to put it exactly, but he was almost a savant. Like, he was so smart, and he was so intellectual that you didn't realize it, but then, like, thinking about it, you're like, oh my God, like, he was a very articulate, intellectual, well-spoken lunatic that built and came up with contraptions of doom and destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, in the best possible way.
In the best,
and I mean that in the most loving and respectful way. Exactly.
And I mean that in the most loving and respecting way. He was awesome, and I miss him. You know, not to try to turn it from Grant, but, you know, back in January, I lost my trainer, and then to have this, it's just like, and then the virus. 2020 has been just like complete dog shit. I put it up like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
I just want to fall asleep and wake up and not have it be, and let it be 2021, because it's just been terrible. But
it has been. There has just been. It just feels like tragedy after tragedy, and just, I mean, you know, I try not to be a superstitious person, but I mean, you at a certain point, there's just so much, and you're like, it can't possibly get any worse. And then, you know, then I get a phone call on a random Sunday, and hear those words, and it's like, how does this keep happening? Like,
you question everything. Why him? Why? Believe me.
Why? Exactly.
I get it.
And there's so much horribleness in the world. There is so much hate and violence and pain right now, like at this moment in history. And it's just, and it's horrible. It's horrible that it always takes a death to put things in perspective for people. But it's seeing this, and seeing the sheer amount of people who are hurting because of it, because they all love him so much, it's, in a weird kind of way, I feel like it's offering this glimmer of hope and light, you know, in the middle of all this just shit darkness, that one person can make such a difference in so many people's lives without trying. You know, and it's like, this is all we need to do. You know what, this is one of the worst moments ever in history. And if there is anything that we can learn from this, it's we have to stop putting out these terrible things. What we need to put in the world is love, because you have no idea how long you're going to be here. You never know. 100%. You never know when the last hug will be the last hug. You never know when saying bye is going to be goodbye. And so let's not waste any more time. When you're talking to someone who has had any kind of impact on you, let them know. Let them know, because it takes 2 seconds to do, and it could mean the world to them. Tell people you love them. Don't hold back anything, you know? Just, that's what we have to do right now, and that's the only way I think we're going to get through the world right now, and that's the only way we're going to get through the loss that we're suffering right now as Grant's friends.
I agree.
So
I agree 100% with you.
In that spirit, I would like to say thank you, Joe, because you have always been super cool to me. And I remember when you had purple hair, and it was absolutely friggin' gorgeous, and I loved it. And
thank you.
You give super hugs. So, love you, man. I'm gonna practice what I preach, you know. That's what I want this to be about. I want every show, I want it to be about love and celebrating. We know we're all mourning, but we gotta celebrate the man. And as you beautifully put it, he is up halls of Valhalla, and he's having a good time. He's with his beloved. He's laughing at us for being jackasses, sitting around crying over him. And he's just waiting until he gets his yes again, and we will. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he would not wholeheartedly and proudly hand you the mantle of Deathmatch Wrestling's new Viking. I think he would very much be proud of that and be proud of everything you've done. I mean, I remember when he used to send me his upcoming schedule, and he would tell me when there were guys that he wanted to work with. And when he had a match coming up that he had requested himself. And I remember when he requested to work with you. And I remember when he's requested to work with a lot of people. And I'm so glad so many of those things happened. You know, that it's given people these memories to look back on. And I mean, if you have anything, any silly memory or story or anything that you kind of like to wrap things up with, you know, the floor is yours.
I mean, the only real funny story I could say is the second time I got to work with Grant was at another H2O show. It was myself, Grant, and Dan O'Hare in a three-way. And Grant was, I believe, a few cocktails were sent around the locker room beforehand. And I remember Grant coming up, and in typical Grant fashion, if you ever spoke to him, you know how it is. And he said, gentlemen, I don't want to down you, give you guys any downing, but I'm probably not going to remember anything. So let's just go out there and do it. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And then after my first TOD, he actually sent me a message congratulating me. He wasn't there, but he sent me a message saying congratulations and said some choice words for CZW at the time. Not anything negative, but he basically said it was too soon, too late kind of situation, basically saying I should have been there sooner. And that meant a lot. But besides that, Grant was, like I said, a fantastic human being, an amazing artist, one of the best deathmatch wrestlers probably ever, and I'm sure he'll go down as such. And I just know he's with his old lady in Valhalla, and he's happy, and like you said, looking down on all of us, probably just laughing and shaking his head, saying, "Wow, you guys just cheer up and enjoy life."
Mm-hmm. Like, you guys all need a drink.
Exactly. And he's probably saving us a couple of pints while he's up there. So, like you said, we'll see him eventually again in time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming
on.
No
problem. Thank you for asking me to do it.
Of course. And it's not easy. And again, I've said this before, but I really want to just I've reached out to a lot of people, and if there is anybody that, you know, reaching out to that was found it upsetting or offensive in any way, I cannot apologize enough. I just want to offer anybody who would like the chance to talk about him, to be able to have that opportunity to, and let's let everybody out there listening really learn the kind of amazing person that we were all blessed with having as a friend. So
absolutely,
and it just,
you're doing good things.
Thank you, and just
no problem.
Thank you for being willing to come on and open up, and you take care of yourself and stay safe. And guys, all of these episodes, Grant Berkeland, The Road to Valhalla, they are all going to be up at anchor.fm/pantsless radio. I have no idea how many there's going to be. I'm going to record these until I run out of people to record with. So it's and for how many people love him, I'm going to be busy for a while.
Most likely. Probably won't be. You'll probably have, I'm sure you're going to have tons of these things. So there'll be plenty of content.
Absolutely. It's a good thing I'm still in lockdown and off work, so.
There you go. Hey, you're doing, like I said, you're doing awesome, so I appreciate it. I'm sure everyone else does.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. It really means the world to me, and thank you guys for listening, and please continue to share all this and talk about Danny and remember him and celebrate him and just, you know, have a drink on our Viking.
Well, tonight, as you see, I unveiled the latest in my running line of Japanese mid-90s deathmatch-themed haircuts. And this is, of course, the FMW 93 right here. And it lost me the match. I blame the haircut. 2 weeks ago, I was at Tournament of Death, went with the Matsunaga theme. Went to round two, I was out. So, I'm going to keep trying, man, but if this trend continues, I'm going to have to be forced to rethink my whole theory on wrestling, and I may have to come to the conclusion that that actual wrestling skill is required rather than just really spiffy haircuts. So that'd be very depressing to learn, but it could be a fact of life. I may have to face up to that. I cut my arm also. I don't know if you care. Yeah, it's good for you. It builds character, and hell, at least it's not a nipple, right, Drake? You only got so many of those to go around. You can't go waste them. That's all I have to say. I have to get drunk now. Please leave.
Hey guys, welcome back. I have another awesome guest with me, friend of Grant's. Please welcome Joe Gacy.
What's going on? Let's see how it's going. I think we all kind of know.
Yeah, exactly. There's just a whole lot of really horrible shit.
As we were just talking about, it's a very crazy time in the world, and it's just like one thing after another.
It really is. I watch CNN, because it's like I find that I can't really turn away. It's just like,
yeah.
And between the coronavirus stuff and the protests, the violent protests, and just the insanity and the army being friggin' everywhere, it's like, when did life turn into a bad blockbuster summer movie?
No idea. No clue. It kind of just all happened at once.
Right? Like, I just, earlier, I was talking to Stockade, and we were just kind of like, this, when is enough enough? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, hopefully, as time goes, you know, things will get better.
I hope so.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I understand this is something that it obviously doesn't affect the world, but it very much feels like it's just kicking us while we're down, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yes, as I just said, I already have something in mind that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
I went back and I dug up. I was lucky enough to do 3 interviews with Danny Havoc, and anyone who knows him and knows his love of public speaking understands why I had to dig through every file on my computer until I could find these and make sure that they were posted again so people could listen to them. So all the old links had long expired, and The third interview that I did with him, and it was in June 2016, and I called him the Deathmatch Groundhog, because he only comes out for an interview once a year. And he said, and I quote, "Shouldn't that be Joe Gacy?" And he then proceeded to tell a story of how when you first grew your beard out, and I'm calling you out, Grant. You can confirm this or not. He claims that he tried to convince you to do a deathmatch groundhog type gimmick because the beard offered a wonderful groundhogginess to your essence.
This is 100% true.
I really didn't doubt it.
It was around the time that I decided to grow a beard, but didn't really know how to groom it and maintain it. So instead of growing into like a beard, it more just grew outward into like a fluff. And when Grant, realized what was happening, he definitely dubbed me the deathmatch groundhog, I guess. This was also back when, I was doing more of those types of matches.
So, he also said, and I feel enough time has passed, it's almost been at least 4 years, it's almost exactly 4 years since the interview, and I have no idea how much earlier than that it was that he actually came up with this ingenious idea, but he predicted that you not taking his advice would be something of a lethal blow to your career.
Well, maybe I should have listened to him then.
Which, I mean, it's really something to think about, because I mean, obviously you've gone on to do many great things. You're the current CZW champion. Are you still Evolve Tag Champion?
No, not anymore.
It's kind of hard to keep track of wrestling, so I apologize.
No, it's okay. It moves quick, I know.
You've moved on to Evolve. You have done a number of great things. So I think really what we need to do today, Joe, you and I, is figure out just how much further you would be as the deathmatch. I mean, are we talking like AEW champion, Universal champion, WWE? Maybe you'd be all three.
If I was doing the deathmatch groundhog, Grant would have tried to put a word in with Moxley right now. So who knows? I don't know. Nobody knows.
It's really impossible to say. You could be walking around like Ultimo Dragon back in the day, with the eight belts hanging off.
Yeah.
Them,
And I would even have the same outfit, just a lot furrier.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, the sky's the limit, and I mean, we can only just, what might have been, my friend.
Well, I can't knock any idea that he would come up with, because he was little to a lot of people's knowledge, was actually like a genius when it came to wrestling. So
that is like the very first thing that all of the guys have mentioned. And I like to the fact that I gotta say, I don't think it's a little known fact anymore.
hopefully not. I want everyone to kind of know the kind of guy he was in and out of the ring. And he was definitely like, as I said, I don't do death matches anymore, but, out of all the ones I've done, he was probably, one of the most trusted guys I've ever done one with. And, like, after doing my first one, which I was, super nervous about when I did it with him, after that I was like, oh, okay, I'll wrestle great any day of the week.
it's funny you mention that. I've no concept of days or dates anymore, so let me consult my phone.
That's okay.
Here. It's currently Friday, June 5th, and last night it was pretty awesome. Drake Younger, let's call him that. He hosted a really nice virtual memorial of sorts on Zoom, and there were a lot of the guys stopped in and were talking stuff. And Scotty Vortex was saying that, as it turned out, and this is a beautiful piece of synchronicity. Grant was his first deathmatch opponent and his last deathmatch opponent. And
wow.
He said going into that first match, and Drake very much concurred that there is nobody anyone could have as a better first opponent in a deathmatch or any type of hardcore match than Danny Havoc.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the things about Grant, which I don't know, maybe other people have also said, but he was very selfless. Like when we had, like, so my first real death match was against him for CZW at the arena in Philly, and I was still really green. I didn't know a lot, and I was still trying to find my place. And this was kind of the lead up to his Cage of Death match with Sammy. So this is maybe 2010. Maybe. Him being Danny Havoc and me being, myself at the time, like, he didn't have to do anything for me in that match. It could have just been him, throwing me through all kinds of stuff, but he made it a point to make me look good and take, big bumps when he didn't necessarily have to. So, I couldn't thank him enough for that, because I think that was kind of the match that started really opening, like, fans' eyes to me. Or accepting me maybe a little bit more than they did before that. So I don't think, that would have happened if it wasn't for him.
That is absolutely something that a lot of people have said. And I'm not sure how well known this is to fans. But Grant was the furthest thing from a belt mark that you could find.
yeah.
He would actively, and it's funny. I was talking to DJ Hyde the other day about this.
Sorry.
yeah. Hey, I could put Greg excellent time out the other day. I will do the same to you, Joseph. Don't make it. But yeah, I was talking to DJ the other day. We were talking about this, and he told me this one time. They got into like a full on argument because Deej was trying to put the belt on him. And he goes, "So help me, DJ, if you make me champion, I am tapping out the first match I have."
That is 100% true. I remember him trying to put the belt on him, I think, more than one occasion. He didn't want it. He didn't want to have it at all.
He didn't. Like, and it's amazing. And I don't know if he ever, like, sort of, if this was his thought process behind it at all, like, I certainly wouldn't, presume to know that, or if it's just sort of a byproduct of it, but I think to him being successful in wrestling, the definition of that was how many people he helped be successful in wrestling.
I mean, I could see that. He's, that kind of person, like, obviously, I never really knew his goals or his thought process with a lot of things, but I mean, I could definitely say, just from seeing, what he's done for me and a lot of other guys, I mean, I hope that's what his goal was, and if it wasn't, then it was just a happy accident.
A happy accident was exactly what I was just thinking.
Yeah, like, he helped so many guys, like, because, like, obviously the fans, at, like, for instance, CZW, like, respected and loved, loved Danny Havoc, and, like, I guess it's kind of like a, what would be the word? Like, a sense of, like, validation for, him to kind of help somebody in the fans' eyes. That means that that person also, means something. So maybe he knew that. I'm sure he did. Obviously, the dude was a genius, so.
And it's so bizarre because he is so much of the antithesis of what so much of independent wrestling is. Like you said, the number one word that comes to mind is just selfless. And like, this is, I've said before, this is a business that you almost have to be selfish by necessity. It's very much, there's no team. It's a one man sport, and the only one you have to attribute your success to is what you do, and you got to put yourself first. And that was just for somebody who I don't think it ever occurred to him in any dream of his life to put himself first, somehow ended up extraordinarily successful and popular and loved. And it's like, he used to joke to me all the time. I'm like, but as I was, I'd be working on his website and, you know, and in his Twitter, and like every so often we'd hit like a milestone, like X amount of visitors or X amount of followers. And he'd be like, what is wrong with these people? You know, like we hit 1,000 followers on Twitter. He's like, that's 1,000 people who need a better role model. You know, yeah. And yet it's kind of heartwarming and hopeful, because it makes you realize that, you know what, for all of the terrible shit that happens in the world, sometimes by helping everybody else, the good guys actually do manage to get ahead a little.
Yeah.
And
especially in wrestling, it's hard.
It's rare.
It's like, yeah, very rare, but, you know, he's one of a kind, so.
So one thing I want to ask you about, Rick Clark said the other day, he started off as a Danny Havoc fan and ended up a Grant Berglund fan, and I feel very much the same. I started off a fan of Danny's, and that just grew, mostly because when I was running his website, I had a very ambitious schedule of updating the video section every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have watched almost every Danny Havoc video match and promo that there is on YouTube. So I've gone down a number of storyline rabbit holes. And one of my favorites, which you already alluded to, was the feud he had with Sammy that culminated at the Cage of Death. And I actually have a DVD, and it is all of the, I can't remember what it's called though, but it is all of the promos and segments building up and matches. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's some interesting shit on there. Like, yeah. there is one thing, I don't know if maybe this is where you suspect I'm heading with this, but there was a filmed, very movie-esque segment of Danny being in a darkened basement, chained up and tortured.
We kidnapped him and threw him in a trunk.
Yes. And I'm just like, and then, watching this, it was hilarious and amazing. It was so amazing, yeah, because it really sucked you in. And I just, like, I cannot begin to imagine how many ridiculous memories you must have from stuff like that.
Well, I remember, so, an example of that, like, promo when, you know, we had him chained up. We did a thing where I electrocuted him with jumper cables connected to a battery.
Yep.
And the thing was, they wanted me to, like, hit the clamps together so they sparked before, you know, I touched them with it. And all that I was concerned about was there were some people there making sure that they unhooked it from the battery before I touched him. So I was very concerned the whole time with, like, I kept looking over before I came anywhere near him with those things to make sure they weren't clamped to the battery still. So... And I just remember him going, Joe Gacy, don't electrocute me, please.
Which, I mean, that is so perfectly him. Yeah, he's very calm about it, very calm, and just, you know what, it would be awesome if you would not actually electrocute me right now. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Please don't electrocute me, Joe. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, watch this. I'm definitely going to watch that stuff back. And it's but it's like there's so many things. I mean, that was like such an epic, an epic feud in CZW. I mean, even now, I mean, a lot of people call that the best one-on-one Cage of Death. And
it was my favorite, like, for sure. It was definitely my favorite Cage of Death.
It absolutely. And, you know, Sammy's come out and said a couple times that, like, that is the match that propelled him, like, to the next level.
Yeah.
And, I think like, so. Just, I mean, and it, he would, there was nothing short-sighted about his planning. Like, you know, he was a long-term storyline guy. So, I mean, like, it's just, what was it like for, I mean, you? Because, I mean, as you said, like, he kind of, when you had that first death match with him, it kind of, it raised you to another level. So, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just like, what was it like, you know, working with him then and, on something that was, like, such a huge part of the promotion at the time.
It was huge for me. Like I said earlier, I was still a little green. Like, I was only maybe a year and a half, like, into actual, you know, being in the business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sammy kind of recruited me to be in this group that he came up with. And I was kind of learning what was going on show to show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't really completely know where it was going. And then when I got, you know, I found out I got to work with Danny, it was awesome because, like, I was actually, you know, back when I was a CZW fan that sat in the crowd, I loved Danny Havoc. He was super entertaining and he, you know, had that giant afro at the time. And I'm just like, I don't know anything about this guy, but he is awesome. Ooh. And then, you know, fast forwarding to when I get into business and being around him, finally getting to actually wrestle him, which was that, you know, night of infamy, that death match we did. It was just an amazing experience. And, you know, from there, it was just like any time I got in the ring with him, it was just an amazing experience. We wrestled a couple times. I actually remember we did a tag match. And I think it was North Carolina. And I remember this very distinctly that I think Danny was mad at Sammy. I'm not sure, you know, what was going on, but I think, like, he was a little pissed at him for something. And in this tag match, Sammy would hit him, and Grant would just, like, kind of no-sell him. And then as soon as I got in the ring, I gave him one, you know, easy back club. He sold all the way across the ring. Like, if you watch the match, he, like, sold his ass off for me, and I'm like, wow, okay, I mean, that's really cool of you, but you don't have to do that. So, you know, it just kind of goes with everything, you know, that I said he did for me in that match. Like, he went out of his way, did a lot that he didn't have to do just to make me look good, and I feel like he's done that for a lot of people, so that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, like I said, it's that stuff to him, I think, when he had a match, how it affected everybody else was so much more important to him than how he came out looking. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't an arrogance thing at all, because he was hands down the most humble person I've ever met. Like, he was genuinely baffled by his popularity. You know, and it's like, I felt the need to remind him of it regularly, just because I'm like, seriously, it's not a joke. Like, everybody loves you. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And it's just like, it just never occurred to him. You know, it just never occurred to him. That's who he was. And just one of countless amazing selfless traits.
Yeah, and that's you know, just for somebody in the wrestling business is amazing to say, as it is, because, you know, to some extent, most of us that do this are, you know, kind of attention seekers. We want to be, you know, center stage in the spotlight, but he was all about putting the other person in the spotlight. And for him to, you know, genuinely be confused on why people liked him is, like, hilarious to me. I
know. I know. It's like we kind of look at each other and go, how could anybody not?
I know. Exactly.
You know, and it's And it's funny, he's talked about that. The fact that he's, you know, I mean, wrestling is, to get involved in wrestling, you have to want attention on some level. Because you're going to get it. You know, like, it's hard not to. And he used to talk and he'd be like, and it was not a joke. He was very much an introvert. You know, we used to joke that, you know, one day he was going to move to Canada and just, like, live in an igloo somewhere. And he would have been perfectly happy doing that. Like, he could have just moved to a cabin in the woods and never interacted with humanity again. And he would have been really okay with that. And he was like, and yet somehow I ended up in a profession where people pay to watch me. And he's like, I don't know. Actually, like I said, I've been listening back to interviews with him. And he's like, I think it's just kind of this like sort of a knee jerk fight or flight reflex that he would have. He's like, oh God, people are looking at me. I better suplex something. And that's very much what he was like. It's how could anybody get into wrestling not for the attention?
Yeah, it's crazy. One. And on top of that, too, he would always be very concerned with making sure that the crowd was happy. Like, I remember that was always, you know, something with him, like, oh, we got to make sure we do this because, like, example, the one match, somebody made some Christmas wreath. He was like, oh, we got to make sure we use this, you know, somebody made it. I was like, okay, that's cool.
He was like, yeah. I read somebody had, I think it was, I don't know if it was a fan or somebody, but no, it was Tim Daunce. Tim Daunce had his first ever death match against Danny in AIW. Okay. And he wrote a beautiful blog about Danny and I. Please, you can check it out. Follow him on Twitter at T Daunce, and you can find the link to it. And he talked about the same thing, like how much he appreciated the fans. And he said for their match, somebody had made a board that was covered in something else and fish hooks, which, I mean, that is like absolutely disgusting. And they were like, okay, we're going to take a pass on this. He was like, no. And he's like, a fan took the time to do this. I'll take a bump on it. And I mean, and it wasn't like, I mean, he wasn't saying, you know, hey, guess what, Tim, you're going face first into it. He was like, I will take a bump into it because a fan took the time to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bonkers.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, I can't imagine how many wrestlers out there, even regular deathmatch wrestlers, there's fans bring the weapons stuff all the time. It happens in TUD every year. And I mean, you know, as you sort through the stuff, there's some stuff that is just too dangerous. You can't even attempt to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like back, you know, behind the curtain at TOD, it's, you know, there's a pile and stuff that can't be used. It just gets like tossed because it's too dangerous. And so how many guys would say, you know, I personally will use this on myself because somebody took the time to do it, to make that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's something that absolutely sums up a very large part of who he is, you know.
Yeah, 100%. He would do a lot of things to make sure other people either looked good or they were happy or, you know, anything really.
Yeah, like 100%. And I kind of can't help but think that as hard as this is for so many of us, and I mean by us, I mean friends, coworkers, fans, I mean all of us. He spent so much time making sure that everybody else was happy. We need to, as hard as this is, and as much as this sucks, and it sucks so fucking bad, I cannot really express it, but I think it's time for us to be happy for him. I mean, I'm sad. I'm very sad for myself, but I can't bring myself to be sad for him. He, you know, was absolutely heartbroken without his wife. You know, and for whatever anybody may believe, I believe that they're together again. So for somebody who, it was such a purpose for him to make sure everybody went home happy. I think we have to be happy that he's happy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for just like kind of bringing for bringing everything down there for
me. No, it's okay. I'll add this to maybe try to lighten it up a little bit. So every now and then I would get a random text message from one Grant who always reminded me that I needed to keep doing this move I do. And the thing is, I stopped doing it so long ago, but every time me and him had a match, he always wanted to take it. And the move was this like a double hand choke overhead suplex. So like I would grab, you know, grab him kind of like around the neck. He would grab my wrist and I'd toss him over my head. Anytime me and him wrestle, we have done that move. And, you know, if you go back and watch any of his matches, you'll see it over and over again.
Yeah.
And he would always tell me, hey, you have to do that move. Like, he'll text me. He's like, hey, you're still doing that choke plex move, right? I'm like, I mean, yeah, I can keep doing it. So I think, you know, when wrestling comes back around, I have to bring this move back, and I'm going to officially start calling it the Havoc Plex.
That is amazing. That is.
It kind of just dawned on me, like during this conversation. So
oh, that
I'm gonna
is
have
fantastic.
To keep doing it now.
There you go. That. Oh my god. That. Because I was like thinking about this, and I'm like, I've watched a lot of your matches. What? This isn't ringing a whole lot of bells. Not anytime lately. Anyways, like the last few years. So there you go. That's it. That is it. I mean,
yep.
you have to. You have to. And
yep, I have to. I do now. I absolutely have to.
You know what? It's amazing how many of you guys are going to have all of these awesome little tributes to him in your own way. You know? Mm-hmm. And, like, that is just, like, that's just whatever anytime I see that, I'm going to smile now. It's amazing. You know, like, I talked to Dave McCall, and he told a really good story about, When they were, him and Nate, the ref, they were wrestling, but I mean, they were still learning and training, and he had a really hard time with drop kicks because he was afraid he was going to hurt somebody, and he just couldn't get himself to do it, and Grant was at training one night, and DJ left the ring to take a phone call, and Grant hopped in and he held up his hand and he said, "Drop kick my hand." And he was like, you could do it. You could do it. Like, you don't worry. You're not going to hurt me. Just hit my hand. And Dave just nailed it. And he was like, there you go. Like, you could do it. You're not going to hurt anybody. You could get up there. You can make it look good. It's going to be fine. And he goes, now when DJ gets back in the ring, drop kick him in the fucking mouth. He got in. And Dave nailed the drop kick, and Grant was outside going, there you go, I told you. So we were saying, like, I imagine, you know, every time I ever see Dave McCall now ever throw a drop kick, and I'm sure it's not going to be a regular feature in his matches, but anytime he does now, you know, that's going to make me smile too. That's like the Havoc kick, you know, the Havoc kick, Havoc flex. Like that's, that is so amazing. Like, I honestly, I can't, I'm not sure there's a better way to honor him, you know?
Yeah, there's not, and if, you know, if I didn't do it, he's going to find a way to tell me to keep doing it. So
right?
I better just do it now.
Right? Like, absolutely, like, you're gonna start getting, like, mysterious, your phone's going to start, like, ringing, and, you know, and there's nothing, and you're going to be like, damn it, Grant. You know?
It'll just be like a video. Of me doing it, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. You know, from like an unknown long distance number. You're gonna be like, fine. Yep, he'll haunt your ass. I feel like he would absolutely haunt a lot of us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe he's just waiting for the right time.
I would not be surprised. I could very definitely see that. I think he would find that highly amusing.
Absolutely.
You know, I think him and Brianne are kind of just enjoying being together, and I think, you know, every once in a while, though, he's going to be like, all right, I got to go run a few errands.
Well, what's probably going to happen is, you know, he's spending his time happy, and he's going to get annoyed that we're all talking so good about him, and then he's going to come haunt us.
Yes. How dare you say all those nice things about me?
Yeah.
At least that's one thing that the havoc plucks. That is awesome. That is so awesome. And it's so perfectly fitting. It's very simple, but I really think things like that are like the best kind of tribute. I think as much as he'll appreciate any tribute anybody does to him, I think stuff like that is that's the stuff that he won't be embarrassed about. You know, he won't be like, oh, shut up. Or anything.
No, he'll just be happy about
being used. He'll just be happy about stuff like that. That is so awesome. And I will 100%. I will make sure I have gifts of it, and I will tweet it out, and I will make sure that everybody spread the word of the Havoc Plex.
Well, if you, like I said, it's mostly matches with me and him, so.
Well, it's easy to find then. All right. I got work to do. Oh, thank you so much. Like, this has been so great talking to everybody. Like, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard, but I mean, we have to.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, this is it. This is, you know, all we could do is just talk about them and try to laugh and. We all have like these amazing memories, and the more we share them, the more we have more things to smile about, to laugh about, to remember.
Yeah, I honestly, this is kind of my first conversation about, you know, all of this. I haven't really opened up about it yet. I kind of like, when I found out, I kind of just soaked it in. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I everyone handles things differently, I guess. So like, I wanted to join the, memorial call last night. I just couldn't really bring myself to do it. Mm-hmm. I actually meant to get back to you sooner, and I just didn't. But I kind of got bummed at myself for missing the call yesterday, so that's why I kind of pushed myself to make sure I did this. I don't know. It's something that, you know, people need to kind of get feelings out, and this has been good. So thank you.
That makes me so happy. I can't even tell you. That's all I'm hoping for. You know, everybody we're gonna make sure nobody ever forgets him. You know, we're gonna talk about him forever. It's, you know, like as much of a legend as Danny Havoc will forever be in independent wrestling, is especially in deathmatch wrestling. Grant Berkeland, the man, was a far greater legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really means so much to me, you know, and I've said before, and I'll say it again, you know, I understand that this is, like you said, everybody deals with this stuff differently and processes it and does it in their own time, and that's, you have to do that, you know. And I did try to reach out to people who I knew were good friends with Grant, and again, if there is anybody out there that I reached out to who found it upsetting or offensive or disrespectful or anything, I cannot possibly apologize enough. It absolutely was not my intention, and you know, my heart goes out to all of you, and for anyone who has found any sort of comfort or relief or anything positive from listening to this, or, you know, talking about it, or for coming on, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. This is just such an impossibly shit time and you know, it's hard to have a smile about anything right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you know, and I hope that, I genuinely hope that the smiles and the laughing will just grow in time, you know. And I think they will. I think they will. And, you know, and we just, I mean, I personally take comfort in knowing that he's happy now. He's not suffering, because he was. He was. And he is with his beloved. And I think there was no place on earth that he could be as happy as with her. So I try to remember that. Try to be happy for him. I guess that's about it.
that's a good way to end it.
Yep. I mean, if you have any further tidbits you'd like to throw out there. There's certainly so many, and I know, like, so many little things keep coming back to me, you know, from...
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you said it best.
Thank you. And, alright, so, guys, yeah, I said before, I'm putting together as many of these as people want to come talk to me about them. So that it could take a while. And you can listen to them all. They're all available for download and streaming at anchor.fm/pantsless radio. And I think they're on, like, iTunes and Spotify and all those other places that I don't use. But they're all there. Please go listen to them. And I genuinely hope they offer you, you know, some smiles and any sort of peace. He was an amazing man, and we were extremely lucky to be able to be a part of his life in the way that we all were.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really all we could say is, you know, we were very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, and it honestly, it means so much to me that you were willing to talk to me. You know, when it wasn't,
no,
it
mean,
obviously
I,
wasn't easy, and I.
Yeah, and I appreciate the outlet. Like I said, it kind of helped. So, help me get it out, you know.
Well, that's good. If you'd ever like to do it again, I mean, I think this is the first one I've got through without, like, seriously crying. So high fives all around. And so thank you guys for listening. Thank you again, Joe. It's been really nice hearing, talking about some of this stuff, and you will forever be the deathmatch groundhog. The deathmatch havoc-plexing groundhog in my heart.
Well, I will try. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back with many more episodes.